Okay, so we've been doing a talk called New Year, New Beginning, and this is week three. So for anyone that's missed it, there's some really good words from God in the last 2 weeks. I'll give you a quick brief recap, but you need to go online and listen to them if you've not heard them. The very first week we said there's 365 days that make 1 year, okay? And what we do with every day affects our whole year. Changing what we do daily can not only change our year, but it can change our life. We need to get new daily good habits. Last week we talked about making every day count, because if we make every day count, that will make our year count. And I just think God's word is amazing. So there was an amazing section about putting on God's armor to protect us, and it prepares us for the giants that we have to face. When David got up that morning, he had no idea when he visited his brothers he was also going to be facing a giant, but he was prepared. And that was the main point from last week. Today, we're looking at enjoying the moments in each day. So we'll start today's one. So previously, I've said that we must grab hold of each day and approach it with zeal. And we do need to do that. We do need to grab hold of life. We are not meant to sit back and let life attack us. We're meant to be attacking life and taking control of the situation. I've got a brilliant little quote here, and it says this: "I like to live life one day at a time, but sometimes several attack me at once." Okay, so but life is not meant to be attacking us. Life shouldn't be attacking us. We are the ones who are meant to be in control of our life. And being in control means having a good balance in our life. So it's important to not only just attack the day, but also to find the time to stop and appreciate small moments in that day. But otherwise, the whole thing can just run past us in a flash, and before we know it, we're back to cleaning our teeth and going to bed, and we just felt like we just got up, you know, and we've not achieved much or done anything. You know, appreciate what we already have and give thanks for the blessings in each of our days, because appreciating our day will help us to appreciate our whole year. Don't focus on what we don't have, but be grateful for what we do have. So we're still in January, so I think I can get away with a New Year's resolution, okay? Not that I'd really recommend those, but here's a potential New Year's resolution for all of us: to take our time and enjoy the time we take at least once a day. To stop in that busy day and go, I'm going to thank God for this one thing today, okay? So to take our time and enjoy the time we take. Part of being in control of life is to stop and enjoy moments in our day. So our first scripture today is in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, and it says this: "Be free from the love of money, earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have." Okay, now this doesn't mean that we won't have needs in the future for something new. At some point, we might need a new job. We might need a new house or a new car. We might even need a new relationship. But that it does mean that we can be content while we wait for the new things and not be discontent because, like, oh, my car's old and I've not had a holiday. But just be thankful for what we have while we wait. You know, Paul was thrown in prison. He was also shipwrecked. He was beaten, he was stoned, and he was left for dead. One of his good days was probably worse than all of our bad days put together. And yet he said this in Philippians 4 and verse 12: "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." What an amazing statement. Paul had learned, he said, it's a secret. So today I'm letting you in on the secret. He said, I've learned the secret to be content, because when we're discontent, everything just seems to fly up in the air. And it's a secret to find contentment in the middle of our circumstances. It didn't mean that everything was all hunky-dory for Paul, but it did mean that he was trusting God in the middle of whatever he was facing, trusting God for the future and trusting God to give him strength for the present. Because sometimes getting through today is the hardest thing we'll ever do. You know, sometimes I'm sure every single one of us have got up at some point in our lives at, 7 o'clock in the morning and just thought, I don't know how I'm going to get through today. You know, but sometimes we're afraid. We've got a meeting or whatever it is, but we just need to do it afraid. Just need to go, whatever it is that's going to come out of this meeting, Lord, whatever it is I've got to walk through, you are going to give me the strength. You are there with me. Getting through this season of life can require all the strength we've got. People in this room, every one of us could be in a different season. Some of us are in a go-get-it season. Some of us are in a wait-patiently season. And it can require all the strength we've got. But we can have hope, even on the bad days, because we are not alone. We are in Christ. And more importantly, Christ is in us, giving us that strength. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. He'll give us the strength we need for everything that we have to face. So here's a prophetic word for someone today, and it's simply this. Better days are yet to come. So don't be dissatisfied with today. You know, if everything we need and everything we would desire and our heart's desires, which can be good, godly things, but we're not seeing them come to pass, then a dissatisfaction can creep in. And God is saying, don't be dissatisfied with where you are today. Learn what we need to learn because the better things are on their way. But sometimes we need to learn something on the journey. Be satisfied with the fact that whatever we're facing, we face it with Christ. Here is a quote from a man called J.I. Packer, and he's an author, and he says this: we dishonor God when we claim a Savior who satisfies and then go around discontent. See, it's easy in church to say, oh, God is great and God supplies all of our needs and all the rest of it. But we get up on Monday morning and Tuesday morning and we're discontent. And so one minute we're declaring that we've got this amazing Savior who satisfies, but then we're grumbling and complaining about our lot in life. Being discontent doesn't honor God. It means that we're making no effort to be satisfied. No matter what is wrong with my house, I can be satisfied with my house. No matter what's wrong with my car, I can be satisfied with my car, provided it's getting me from A to B. You know, that's about the most important thing. It doesn't matter if it's not the flashiest car or the fastest car or the newest car. I can be satisfied with my life if I try. If I try. We can count our blessings instead of complaining about them, but it just takes effort. Now, Paul also said this in 2 Corinthians 4:17. Our light affliction is but for a moment. He called it a light affliction. This is the man who'd been put in prison, shipwrecked, beaten, and stoned. And he called all of these things a light affliction. How could he do that? How could he call it that? We'd be on the phone to Oprah. You know, Oprah, it's been a terrible day. It's been an awful week. You need to help me. You know, we'd be on the phone to someone telling them just how bad it was, and he called it a light affliction. And he could do that because Paul did not focus on his weakness. He focused on God's strength. He focused on what God had. And then he wrote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And folks, here's a revelation for us all today. So can we. So can we. Whatever it is we're facing right now, whatever's ahead of us, we can do it with God. We can do it in Christ's strength. Paul also knew that whatever was attacking him would pass. And there's a famous quote that's accredited to Abraham Lincoln, and it's just these four little words. This too shall pass. Whatever it is, the season that we're in. And it's a good attitude to have. Whatever the affliction we're facing, it will eventually pass. I don't mean we ignore the season. Now, if we're in a season of grief, there is a time to grieve. If there's been sickness, there is a time to heal, or even just hurt, there is a time to heal. And it's only right to take the time to do that. You're not doing yourself any favors if you don't. However, if we can't appreciate something in our season, you know, no matter, even if we're going through those things, we still need to find something to appreciate in that downtime, in that hard season. And if we can't, we are in danger of being discontent with God. We're in danger of that. Let's look briefly at another man who had every reason to be discontent with his lot in life. He was a beggar and he was blind. And this is Bartimaeus. And it's in Mark chapter 10, starting at verse 46. And it says this: as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar Bartimaeus was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout and say, "Jesus, Son of David, Messiah, have mercy on me." Many sternly rebuked him, telling him to be quiet, but he kept on shouting all the more, "Son of David, Messiah, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called the blind man, telling him, "Take courage, get up, he is calling for you." So throwing his cloak aside, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, Rabboni, Master, let me regain my sight. And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." And immediately he regained his sight and began following Jesus on the road. So this man was sitting begging. He probably thought his life would never change. It would never get any better, and it couldn't get much worse. You know, I'd have to agree with him on that one. So how about us? How about us on a Monday morning? How about us by the time we get to Friday? Are we thinking it won't get any better and it can't get much worse? But things were about to change for this beggar because Jesus was passing by. So here is my revelation from this story about this man, Bartimaeus. The man was physically blind, but he was not spiritually blind. He knew exactly who was passing by. He knew the significance of Jesus passing through his life, and he called out in recognition. He said, "Jesus, Son of David," which meant he knew he was the Messiah. The Amplified puts that extra piece of information in there. "Jesus, Son of David, Messiah, have mercy on me." I might be physically blind. I might be a beggar. I might be the poorest in society. I might be the least in my family. I might have nothing, but I know you're the Messiah. This blind beggar had a revelation of the Son of God that the people around did not have. Some of the disciples might not have even had it at this point, but he did. He had a revelation of the Son of God. He knew that he was about to brush shoulders with the Messiah, that power was available and he wasn't going to miss it. Folks, in this room today is the same power. In this room today, we can brush shoulders with the King of Kings, with the Son of God, with the Messiah, with Jesus Christ himself, because he's here by the power of his Holy Spirit and we don't want to miss it. Power is available for us too. We need to know it's here in our lives because God is with us and he's in us. We need to know that. So don't miss the power that is available for your situation. So this blind man had the right attitude for a miracle. So how's our attitude? How many things have we complained about so far this year? You know, how is our attitude? Bartimaeus could see God moving in his situation before it happened. He couldn't see physically, but he could see it spiritually. Can we? We've all got our eyes wide open in the physical realm, but are they wide open in the spirit realm? Can we see what God wants to do? Can we see standing beside us, ready, willing, and able to give us the strength we need for our situation, to bring the healing we need, or whatever the circumstances are? Well, first of all, Bartimaeus recognized that God had the power to change his circumstances. And secondly, his right attitude reached out and took hold of what Jesus had for him. We have to have the right attitude. We can't listen to what God wants to do on a Sunday and grumble and complain and be discontent about our lives from Monday through to Saturday until we get back here on the following Sunday. And I'm talking to myself too, myself included. This beggar knew he had the opportunity to touch God, and he took it. I want us to note this, that we have an opportunity to touch God every single day that we breathe. So are we taking it? Are we focusing on God? Are we taking the time in our day to spend one moment appreciating what God's doing or what he's done? Are we believing Jesus is standing right beside us? Do we have the right attitude? Are we lying on the couch in self-pity? I know I've done that. I remember having the TV on and the God channels on and the preacher's there, and I'm lying on the couch thinking, I've got all this housework to do, when am I going to get it done, and I've got this to do and that to do, and there was just a heaviness about me, and the preacher's on the TV and they shouted out, and you people at home lying on that couch, it's never going to get done while you lie on the couch. I jumped off the couch, hopped off and in the kitchen and filled the sink with hot water and got those dishes done and started to make the tea and whatever else I had to do. So here's my revelation from this. God can stand right beside us, but if we don't have the right attitude, we won't see him. We won't see him if we've not got the right attitude. If a mountain of complaint stands between me and God, it will blind me to God. I'll not be able to see through the mountain. It'll be like, are you there, God? I can't see over it, can't see around it, can't see under it. Will not be able to see what God wants to do if there's a mountain of complaints that have come out my mouth. We can be as blind as a beggar if we can't see the blessings of God in our lives. Don't be blind to what God's doing in your life. We need to open our eyes and see God every day. Every single day, find something that we've seen God in and thank him for it. Joyce Meyer says this, God won't give us something new if all we do is complain about what we've already got. Not going to give us something new if all I do is complain about what I've already got. If we're in the habit of complaining, that the things that God has for us can pass us by. Because we're not ready to receive them. He's thinking, well, Sandra's not ready for that yet because she's still complaining about the last thing I gave her. We need to be ready for what he wants to give us. We can miss what's right in front of us and what's right under our nose. So imagine if Bartimaeus had sat in the gutter, okay, and he heard Jesus was passing by, and he just sat there and went, well, I've got no friends to help me, and I can't see, so I'm never going to get to Jesus. Complain, grumble, discontent about his situation. This was a man who had nothing, and he jumped up and said, I've got nothing in this worldly realm, but I want what you've got for me, God. And he went right forward into the things of God. So we can miss what's right in front of us and what's right under our nose. It's up to us to reach out and take hold of the things that God is putting and has put in our lives. Thank God for family members. You know, even if they rub us up the wrong way occasionally, we've got family. Some people don't have. We need to appreciate the things that God's given us. Thank God for them and don't let them pass by unnoticed. Even if your job isn't the best job in the world, it's a job. It pays the bills. So we need to thank God for it. You know, I can complain about having to cook for 30-odd years and you just go, you know that feeling, you open the fridge and you think, what am I going to make tonight? You get no inspiration from the fridge, so you shut it. You go to the cupboard, you open the cupboard and you think, what am I going to make tonight? And you just think, oh no, I've got to get an idea for tea, and you can't get one. And I could stand and I could complain about that, and believe me, I have. But some families tonight have no food to cook. Some families have no food to give their children today. Some families don't even have a house or a home with a stove in it. They're living under a tarpaulin somewhere because their house has been blown up. It's all a matter of perspective. To say, thank you, Father, I've got this one leek, a carrot, and whatever else is in that fridge, and you're going to inspire me to cook something amazing for tea. Either that or we're going up to Vivian and Bob's because they cook up a good stir fry. You know, whatever it is. We could complain about what we've got or we could be thankful. Sometimes we pass people by and we don't appreciate them when we should be. We should be thanking them for helping us and telling them they're doing a great job and valuing them. How many times at work does someone come and value you? Hardly ever. We should be valuing people. Sometimes we pass God by and we don't say thank you or I love you. When was the last time we said, I love you, God, I love you, Lord, I love you, Holy Spirit? Sometimes we don't appreciate God. We're as blind as this beggar because we're spiritually blind. We don't appreciate all that God's done for us and is still doing on a daily basis. We just complain because he hasn't answered our latest prayer request. So here's a revelation from that. God will never pass us by. He stopped for the blind beggar, and he'll stop for us every single time. But we need to recognize that he's there. We need to acknowledge it. We need to open our eyes to the spirit realm. Don't be blind to all God's done and all he is doing and all he's promised to do. We need to start thanking him. If you ask God to open your eyes and show you what's happening in the spirit realm, he will. When I've asked God to do that in the past, he has shown me all sorts of things. He's shown me angels, he's shown me demons, he's shown me what's in the room, he's shown me an attitude over a person. And all I've said is, Lord, I need to see what's happening in the spirit realm here. When my mother was dying, I just prayed a really simple prayer. Lord, show me what is happening in the spirit realm. And immediately I saw an angel at the top of her bed. And the angel was standing and it had a sword in the hand right at its heart, and the sword was pointing straight out. So this angel was on the defensive. This angel was on guard. This angel was ready to fight for my mother as she lay in this hospital bed. And her situation deteriorated, her health deteriorated. And every time I went to visit her, I would just say, Lord, show me what's happening in the spirit realm. And that angel was there with the sword pointing straight out every time. And then one day I went to visit, and I said, Lord, show me what's happening in the spirit realm. And the sword was down on the ground, and the hands were on the hilt, and the head was bowed. And I knew Mum had had enough. She didn't want to fight anymore. God will show you what's happening in the spirit realm on your life, on your loved ones' lives. But we need to ask him. Don't be blind. There are angels in this room. Don't be blind to what God wants to show us, because there's so many amazing things. Jesus passes by every day, but we must take hold of the moment. So here's a final prophetic word. Take the time to take hold of Jesus every day. Take the time to take hold of him, because he's just standing there. You know, it's like a parent. You're standing there and your child's beside you. And then all of a sudden, this little hand just creeps into yours, and you're holding this little hand to help them across the road, or help them into the playground when they're a little bit scared to go, help them into the dentist chair, and this little hand takes your hand, you know, whatever their situation is. Well, God's just standing there, and he's just waiting for us to put our hand in his, to take his hand into our life, into our day with us. You know, we must hear him when we read the Bible. Ask him to show us things. See him when we're out walking, because he's all around us. See him in a friendly smile. See him in a job well done. Say, thank you, Lord, you helped me do that today. Even a bargain at the shops. You know, sometimes I'll pray for a bargain. Let me get around the supermarket, Lord, as quickly as I can and as cheaply as I can. You know, and then just thank him for it. Some days we get out of bed and we hit the ground running because life is busy. But we must make time for God and take time to enjoy the moments that he has given us in that day. Even if it's just 10 minutes at lunchtime and you shut the laptop and you just thank God. Thank you for all of the blessings on my life today. So here is my last revelation today, and it's this. To enjoy moments with God, we must consciously make moments with God. If we don't consciously do it, it's not going to happen. If we don't consciously say, I'm having a 5-minute quiet time this morning, it's not going to happen. So to enjoy the moments with God, we've got to stop in the middle of it, whether we're having our cup of coffee, whether we're closing the laptop, and say, I'm just going to thank you today, God. I'm going to look back on what's happened today and say, you know, see that, God, that was amazing. Thank you so much for that. I can remember when my children were small, just making those moments where you stand still. I can remember them just being on the rug, playing with toys or on the trampoline, and I would just stand there and I would say to God, just stop the clock. Could you stop the clock for 5 minutes right now while I drink this in? Their skin, and it's so perfect, and what they smell like, and they're so soft, and they're playing with their toy, and they look up and they give you a smile. Could I just commit this to memory? And I still have those memories in my head right now. And on days when maybe you can't see them, you remember those things, and they're there, and you don't forget them. So here's, I'm going to finish with a challenge. Don't go to bed tonight without making a special moment for today. Don't go to bed any night this year without stopping and thinking, what was a special moment today? Even if it's just, you know what, I didn't drown. I survived that. I came through it. Then that's good enough. Then after a year, we'll have 365 special moments. And if you can't think of a new one, you can just recall an old one from yesterday or last week. To enjoy our year, we must make an effort to enjoy our day. To enjoy our day, we must enjoy moments in our day, starting with today. Okay, thank you so much for listening. I ask the worship team to come up and do our final song.